The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thank you for tuning in to the Sports Ethos Nets podcast. I am your interim host for the day, Joe, joined once again by Anthony. On Twitter, you can find him at AnthonyDittmar_. You can find me on Twitter at TheJoeFerro. Anthony, we've got a lot of Nets stuff to talk about. Big time win yesterday, getting a win over the Portland Trail Blazers. It was a close one when it probably shouldn't have been. But we gain a game on Toronto as they lost to the Lakers yesterday. So thank you, LeBron James, and especially thank you to Russell Westbrook. He hit a big shot. That's big for Russell Westbrook, for one. So congrats to him. But big time win for the Nets. What are your thoughts on the game, Anthony?
Well, for the Portland game itself, when they were down 16, obviously it was a little troubling considering Portland didn't have Simons and of Dame. They cut their whole entire roster. Obviously, CJ's not there anymore, so you kind of thought this was like a gimme game. So whenever you lose a gimme game, it's kind of like it hurts a little bit more because you kind of already circled these as W's. But the Nets responded in the fourth quarter. Seth Curry had himself a game. Obviously, Kevin Durant was doing Kevin Durant things. Bruce Brown has continued his hot play, and it was a great overall win. I think they needed to keep it close, honestly, to keep him like locked in. And like you said, doing the standings watching now, I think every Nets fan is going to try to root to get past Toronto first. I think you'd rather play Toronto. I think there's a better chance that there's a vaccination like change in New York City before we see it in Toronto. So obviously that'd be the ideal situation. But the best situation, I guess, would be on the road at Cleveland. So you're kind of rooting for the Cavs to get past. But it's looking like more or less likely the Nets are going to get into that sixth seed. I think best case scenario, they pass Toronto or Cleveland for seven. But it's looking like they're going to stay in eight, if I had to guess. But it's going to really come down to these last few weeks. Who comes back? If any mandates are changed, it's going to be a lot of like waiting and seeing, which is like we've done all year. So I guess just more of the same. But yeah, scoreboard watching the Cavs, Raptors, and the Hornets too, because the Hornets are only one game back. You don't want to get in that 9-10 matchup either. So it's a lot of scoreboard watching from here on out until the last like month of the season, I would say.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, we're basically – there's more of a – there's a greater chance of New York lifting a vaccine mandate than there is of anywhere in Canada. But Mayor Adams has once again gone on record and said he's not in any rush to lift the private sector mandate, even though it affects now the Nets, the Yankees, and the Mets. So that's just another thing. Mayor Adams said that he's not going to rush on any season timeline. This is old news, but, you know, still frustrating the more and more you think about it. But like you said, we're scoreboard watching now. We're kind of hoping for the Cavs to continue to lose. And hopefully they fall into the seven if we're in the eighth, so that at least we would have Kyrie Irving on the road for the playing game. But Cleveland won last night. We are now 3.5 games back of them, but we are only 2.5 back of Toronto, which is definitely doable because I believe Toronto has like the ninth most difficult schedule in the league remaining. It's somewhere around there, and it would be all the pieces would have to fall in place for the Nets to be able to have Kyrie Irving in a play-in game. Doesn't look likely, but what can you do? All you can do is just try to gain ground. At the end of the day, you want to get in that sixth spot so you don't have to worry about it. But I guess
little daunting right now, just considering how many games are left.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm just looking at the standings right now. It's going to be a little tough for them to pull it off. Cleveland's your best case scenario. Because don't forget, let's say you get in the 7-8 playing against Toronto. Let's say you lose. Then you play a 9-10. You play whoever wins the 9-10 game. And if that's in Brooklyn, there's no change. It's two games without Kyrie Irving. Now you're in a slot where like you lose, your season's over. So that's obviously the worst case scenario. And it's also, I guess, kind of annoying from the standpoint is that, like, since you're in these playing games, you don't know if you're going to be, like, seventh or eighth. So you really don't know who you're going to be matching up in the first rounds. Right now, Miami is pretty secure in the one seed. So if you win that – if the Nets end up getting into that 9-10 slot or losing and then playing in the second playing game, it's a very good chance I think Miami ends up with the best record of the conference because they're 2.5 up on Milwaukee. Milwaukee and Philly are both only, like, they're half game separated. Milwaukee's in second. Philadelphia's in third. And then Boston's only – a game and a half out of the second seed in the East. So that can actually be kind of interesting because I think I'd like the Nets to play the Celtics more than like the Sixers. I mean, the Bucks, to be honest. I don't like playing the Bucks at all. Like, obviously, last year we saw what happens. But yeah, not to say we can't pull it off, but like, you know what I mean? I think almost every Nets fan would rather take their chances against the Celtics versus the Bucks. Yeah. Like, so we're watching too, like the Bulls kind of are free falling a little bit. Dude, they're playing poorly.
Bulls are sliding.
They went from the one seed, like, at one point in the season. After the Nets kind of fell off that one seed, the Bulls had it for a while. But I don't know. I guess it depends who you – I think if you had to have a pecking order of teams who want the Nets to play, I think none of us want to play Milwaukee. Philly and Miami probably play, like, the same tier, but I think I'd lean towards wanting to play Miami, just aside from, like, wanting revenge. I'm saying, like, from a pure, like, standpoint. Yeah. And it probably goes, like, the rest of the pack. So I'm not afraid of the Celtics, Bulls, Cavs, or Raptors, to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, the Celtics are hot. The Celtics are on fire. I think they might have the best record in the league ever since like the new year started. They've been on fire. But
they match up very well to anybody.
Yeah, they do. But like still at the same time, you would much rather deal with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown than you would deal with Giannis and Chris Middleton. That's just how it is.
It's like the bench too, because the Celtics bench is not like they both have any good benches, but I think the Bucks have a better starting like six or seven guys, like they're top six or seven guys on the roster.
Yeah, for sure.
It's Boston's three options, like Marcus Smart. Like I think I'd rather that than Jrue Holiday.
Yeah, for sure. So
what a note too, I guess, I mentioned is that the Nets are securely gonna make the playing games at least because they're 6.5 up on New York. There was a point where Washington was getting a little close. Not that I really thought it was a legitimate threat, but like at least we'll know the Nets are gonna be in these playing games at least. Because there was a point in time where that wasn't guaranteed.
Yeah, and it's not like we've 100% clinched, but basically we would have to lose almost every game the rest of the way, and the Knicks would have to win every game the rest of the way, pretty much.
Only Washington and the Knicks are still alive. Indiana, Detroit, and Orlando officially eliminated.
Yeah.
Just for those who want to keep record.
So when we've been praising a lot of Nets all year, specifically Patty Mills. Last night was another game where he did not look great at all. And this is like becoming a common theme in a lot of games. Patty Mills beginning to underperform. And it's like, we've talked about it. He's already played this year more minutes than he's played in any season in his career. He's leading the Nets in minutes played. He already has career highs in points per game, amount of shots taken, everything. Everything that you could think of Patty Mills, basically, this is the best season of his career. But more recently, ever since where we were getting towards the All-Star break, we started talking about Patty needs some rest. We got to get him some time off, but we just couldn't. We didn't have anybody but him for a long stretch. And he keeps continuing to struggle. Last night, he shot 0 for 4. Only played 17 minutes, but 0 for 4 from the field for Patty Mills. And, I mean, who did we play before yesterday?
Mavericks.
Mavericks, yes. Late in the game, he didn't play a lot in that game either, but when he went in and late in the game, he was knocking down a few shots, and we were like, okay, maybe he's turning the tide. But he's struggling again. He went 0 for 4, and all of those shots were from 3. It's becoming a little bit concerning, don't you think? Like, if our team basically is going to rely on if Ben Simmons is playing and if Kyrie can, Patty Mills is that guy who's going to be in that spot spacing the floor for us along with Seth Curry. And it's like, if he's not knocking down his shots, I'm kind of scared we'll be looking at another Joe Harris situation.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Yeah, it's it did start concerning me. I'd be a little more worried if like we didn't make that trade for Seth Curry. We didn't have Goran Dragic, like guys that could space the floor. Like, I think it really comes down to the fact that he's a little overworked. He's playing career highs in minutes. Like you said, he was the only guy really that's been hurt all year besides Blake. But Blake's been kind of out of the rotation at certain points. He's really been the only guy all year that's been consistently in the rotation. So
one game, Patty's missed.
Like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. This guy's played almost every single game this year but one. Like, come on. Like, the guy, I'm not saying this guy, it's excusable for what he's doing, but there is a reason to it. I'd be a little more concerned if it was for no reason. Like, if we had Kyrie playing all these games at home, like, I think it'd be a different story. Give him some right press and some stops. But, like, we really need a space. We know Joe Harris. There's no guys in and out of the rotation, injured, whether it be, like, injuries or guys not playing. It's just... Yeah, so like the Nets are relying on his offense, and it really hasn't been coming through lately. It come in the playoff time, like there is a world where he may not be in the rotation if we have Kyrie Irving full time. Think about it. You only play like 7-8 guys in the playoffs, typically in like a regular game, because it's like you're playing high minutes of your starters. You only really take them out when you absolutely need to. Let's say you have Kyrie full time. You have Kyrie, you have Durant, that's 100% playing Drummond because he has to, like, you need a big guy. So that's 3. Bruce Brown, you assume 4, Seth Curry 5, Dragic 6. There's a world where, like, you don't really play Patty Mills because you go Claxton, you go, like, yeah, if you have Ben Simmons, I'm not even counting him, or LaMarcus Aldridge. You can even go Cam Thomas if it's really, like, you need a little more shooting. Like, there's a world where, like, he's got to play, don't get me wrong, but, like, there's a world where you're not, like, 100%, he's not getting 20 minutes if he's going to keep playing like this. Like, he'll come in just for, like, breathers and that's it.
Yeah.
Like, it's not out of the question. At one point, he was, like, a lock. You know what I mean? That's where we're at right now. I'm looking at his game logs the last, like, couple weeks. It's not looking pretty. 0-4 last game, 3-11 versus Dallas. They had the one good game against Orlando where he was 5-7. Then 2-11 against the Knicks. He had decent games against Philly and Charlotte. And then he had a really bad stretch before that. 1-2, 5-8, 3-7, 1-8, 0-3, 0-9, 2-12, 3-11. It's like since February, he's kind of played very inconsistently. I'd say really like 5 games, 4 of them are bad.
Yeah, that's exactly what it feels like. It's like once every week he's been showing up, and it's like that was not the case earlier this year. Patty was earlier this year leading us to victories with all G League guys and rookies. Like, Patty was on earlier this year, and it's just like it's not turning out the same right now. But hopefully he could turn it around soon. We really
get him a little breather to it. The Nets are in a comfortable position, which they probably won't be, if I'm really going to be honest. They're probably going to have to play all these games like they're the finals. But their last, like, 5 games are, like, fairly easy. After they get – actually, like, they have, after, like, this next week, they have Utah, the Grizzlies, and the Heat, which is tough. Then you have Charlotte, who's like, okay. And you have the Pistons, the Bucks, a tough game. And you end the year with Atlanta, the Rockets, the Knicks, the Cavs, and the Pacers. It's not a daunting schedule. So I'm gonna see if Steve Nash has to get the games off in that little stretch where potentially they can get him some breaks. You'd assume you may have Simmons and Irving back, but we know how that works. Yeah. Those are games like maybe you can get him a breather or two, so he's like fresh legs for that playing game or playoff series. You'd hope he gets a playoff series. But yeah, it's not pretty right now.
Yeah, it really isn't, especially in a time where we need everybody to perform to keep gaining games on the people ahead of us when the people ahead of us simply will not lose. Yesterday we lucked out, but it's incredible comeback that we watched last night. But I want to transition to somebody who has been playing well recently, who wasn't playing well earlier in the year. I think you know where I'm going. Obviously, Bruce Brown. Last night, 17 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, and a block. 7 of 12 from the field. He didn't hit a 3 last night, which is not like him as of lately, because he's been knocking them down. But man, I don't know what else more we could say about Bruce. Bruce has been phenomenal ever since the trade deadline. It's like earlier in the year, he wasn't able to finish through contact. He wasn't able to really get to the rim, like driving on his own. But like now it's like he's a completely different player. And we talked about this already, but it's just like, it's hard not to marvel in how good he has been ever since the trade deadline. It's like, I don't know what really flipped the switch for him. But like, man, we thought the Bruce of last year was good. This is a level above that. Like, he's doing so much better than he was last year. He looks so comfortable. And it's just like, it's awesome to see. I don't think we could even really emphasize how good Bruce has been if you haven't sat there and watched him.
Yeah, like at one point, I remember we had the trade deadline show with a guy, the Bird's Eye podcast, and he was talking about like throwing the salary filler to teams just because like, he had like a $4 to $5 million contract because we were so done with him. He looked cooked. He looked like not like himself like he did last year. Like you said, once we had the Harden deal, I don't know if it was like more spacing, if he was just re-energized and we had to step up. The first initially KD wasn't playing, so like the Nets are really down guys. He's been in the zone. Like his finishing ability on the rim, he's very crafty. It's like almost Kyrie Irving, like I want to say, no one's Kyrie Irving, obviously, but like the way he like is like crafty around the rim reminds me of that. He can like shoot the ball, like not like crazy, but like he at least can like hit an open shot, like which is like more than you could ask for with everything else he does. He won us a game against the Knicks in the defensive play. Like he's everywhere on defense. He brings energy to the team, like you saw him out. Like when he has the energy, the rest of the team does. He said that like people still defend him like he's a scrub, like. Because either Kevin Durant's getting a double team or Kyrie Irving is, and they kind of like he's the one they come off of. He was talking about, yeah, then treating like a scrub and to keep making them pay. He said it kind of puts a chip on his shoulder. So I do like the fact that he like acknowledges the fact that they're like not kind of playing him up. And if you can force like something, like, if he keeps doing this, you're going to force an extra defender to come off Kevin Durant. That just makes the team better. Because like all due respect, like Kevin, I'd rather have Kevin Durant single coverage than that. But like you know what I'm saying? Like it helps everyone because if he's like a legitimate threat, like it does wonders. I remember at one point this year we were running like a. It was when we saw Harden. It was KD, Harden, and then it was like James Johnson, Bruce Brown, Claxton. I remember someone on the other team, like, we were playing yells. There's only 2 shooters on the court. Like, so they were just like swarming like Harden and Durant because everyone else was just not threats. And you have got everyone on the court that can at least make a shot. It really does a lot for the offense. He's like that, like, he's not like an interior scorer, I would say, or like he is, but he's not like known for that. He's kind of like all 3 levels of a scorer now, where he's like kind of just like swarming everywhere. He's cutting, makes the right play. He's just one of those guys that just brings the energy to the team and the team that really needed it at a certain point this year. I wonder how like Ben Simmons coming back would affect that if he comes back, because they kind of play similar roles. I don't know if you could afford to play both of them at the same time. Maybe stagger some minutes. You know, I don't like I guess, but right now you can't take Bruce Brown out of the rotation, right? Like there's no way you could.
Yeah, no chance. He has to play. And it's like one thing I wanted to bring up. You remember when like Caris LeVert like first started really showing his scoring prowess around the rim? Like it's eerily similar. Like the way that Bruce is getting craft, like you said, Kyrie Irving-esque, like just like being able to maneuver his body around the rim. Like it's like Kyrie Irving was allowed to rejoin the team, and then Bruce just decided, like, I'm just gonna study Kyrie Irving finishing film for 85 hours straight, and like it was like, I don't know, like he's just absorbing contact, maneuvering his body, getting a clear layup every single time when there's like two guys around him. He's just moving his body in ways like he's not afraid of contact. And like we said, he plays with so much energy. He plays with so much physicality. And it definitely shows now with the way that he's playing. And it's awesome to see. He's been phenomenal.
I wonder how they keep him next year, because like how can they, like he might play himself out of the Nets. Like,
well, that's the thing though. We said the same thing last year, and then he came back on a 1 year, $4 million qualifying offer.
That's like, I maybe teams just thought it was because of spacing, or because he was like just whatever, or he just could discount to try to win a ring. I don't know. So eventually, a guy wants to make his money in the NBA. Like,
yeah,
it's like winning is one thing, but like eventually, like it comes down to like if these guys never had a contract before, this maybe his one opportunity to get one.
Yeah.
Like you don't want to, like, obviously he has to make the best decision for his own career. We'd love to have him back, but like he's outplaying himself, like to potentially to like for the Nets to lose him, which honestly is not ideal, but I'm also happy for the guy. You know, it's like a weird, like in the middle type of thing, but he might get himself, I think, a nice multi-year deal now out of this. Like I can see him getting like a 3-year deal maybe, like in like, I don't even know, maybe the $8 million annual range, like, which is like probably love. Because he came back for one for four, you said this year, one for five.
Yeah, it was one for like 4.5 or something. That was a qualifying offer.
It's going to be a contract, but like for the most part, all guaranteed. So you get like the 3-year security. At least you kind of like don't have to worry about playing for a contract every year. Because that's always in the back of your head. Like, damn, I got to like play well to put like food on the table. Like, you don't have to worry about that. Guys like in that kind of caliber would love that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, like, if you just think, like, about Bruce this offseason, like, a team like, say, like, the Warriors, who have, like, two superstars and then a bunch of guys on, like mid-level contracts kind of and rookie contracts with guys like Moses Moody and Jonathan Kuminga and Jordan Poole and all these guys. Like, that's a team that, like, I could see really wanting, like, a guy like Bruce Brown. That's just a hypothetical. But, like,
yeah, I'd say Draymond kind of plays his role there. So, I don't know, like.
Yeah, well, that's also Draymond has injury history, and those are two where you could stagger minutes and like
the cheaper Draymond Green, because Draymond is like God, they get to max. Like, I don't know if you want to pay him a max.
Yeah,
like it's interesting. I think a lot of contenders would take a look at him,
especially ones that have shooters all over the place. Like,
yeah, I mean, that means his ideal situation is spacing, because you want to go somewhere clunky, like him in Philadelphia probably wouldn't work. It's not really like a shooting destination, but like him in like Golden State, like you said, in Phoenix, like. Where the ball is kind of just flying from all different corners, it would do wonders for him. I wonder really what's gonna happen with him, because that's a lot of decisions. That could also be a later topic, but like, Claxton's also a guy that's playing like very well lately too. Like, can they afford to keep this guy? I know he's on to get paid.
I believe Claxton's max extension is 4 years for $38 million.
That might be something that should be worthwhile taking. It's a cheaper option again in the open market, especially because you have to think about Andre Drummond. There's no way they keep all these guys. An ideal
world. Also, I don't know if LaMarcus Aldridge is going to be able to come back next year. Like,
I think Blake Griffin's for sure gone.
Blake is probably gone.
Aldridge, like you said too, he was injured a lot this year. Like, he's been great offensively, but like he's a liability on defense. Like, I'm afraid that he's not going to be able to play in the playoffs in terms of like staying on the court with like getting like every time you have a switch, you're just going to get blown past. Like, you only probably bring him in for really desperate for some offense for like small stretches. There's a lot of guys like they're gonna be like, when you're on a good team, when you have like really good teams like the Nets I had, like on paper, like when you have two max guys, three max guys, you really have to get like guys in the fringes, to make up like every year. Like, it's not like you can afford to bring every single guy back, because guys put up better numbers when they're better players, can't afford to keep them all. It's kind of like that's why they try to hit in these rookies like Kessler Edwards, Cam Thomas, De'Ron Sharp, like guys who come back for cheap contracts, and you get a few vet minimum ring chasers, and that's kind of how you constitute your roster. Because like maybe even Joe Harris, like who knows, you're making $18 million next year.
I was just about to say, I'm like, these are all reasons why I can't see Joe Harris on the Nets next year.
Because they give a Seth Curry making $8 million, and he does more on a basketball court than Joe Harris does. He's makes a better playmaker. He can make his own shot better. He's
scored at all levels better.
I'd love to extend him, like beat the open market. I know he's in demand, probably a high price. Maybe like the same thing Joe gets. But I'd rather Seth Curry at that.
Yeah, I'd rather Seth Curry be making that money than Joe Harris. Exactly.
I love Joe Harris. Don't get me wrong; he's the longest tenured Net by far. I think he's like 7 years now. Like, I'm like the next closest guy might be like Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving. Like, it came in 2019. Like, what? Like, there's a lot of moving parts with this, obviously. But like, you can see a lot of roster turmoil this off season. Maybe move Joe to keep some of these guys, like Drummond. But like, Drummond's been a blessing. Like, the Nets have needed a center like that. They haven't really had a great center since Brook Lopez left. And like, Like, he had his problems defensively, too. Like, Andre Drummond's, like, the first rock I feel like I've seen under the Nets rim since I've been a Nets fan. And I've been watching for, like, 13, 14 years, I'd say, consistently.
Yeah.
Like he's the first one. Like, I when someone's, like, a big – we're matching against a big center, I'm not scared for my life, like, saying we're going to get absolutely demolished tonight.
Yeah. No, I completely agree.
I know we're going more off-season here, but, like, this is just a thing I've argued about the Bruce
thing,
like,
a lot. Yeah. Well, let's talk about some of the guys we do have. and will have for multiple more years. Seth Curry and Kevin Durant. Last night, Seth Curry in his first game back, he missed three straight. 38 minutes, 27 points, 9 of 14 from the field, 7 for 11 from three. Seth Curry, just like insane last night. And Kevin Durant, 38 points in 38 minutes on 15 shots.
That's stupid.
It's unreal. It was just unbelievable. Kevin Durant was a monster. He shot 2 of 3 from three, which was good because Kevin Durant, the last couple games from three, wasn't really shooting that well. But he just efficiency king last night. Like, you couldn't expect anything less. Like, he was just.
Have you seen his numbers since he came back?
Oh, yeah. It's absurd. Like, what is it? He's averaging like almost 30 ever since he came back, I believe.
No, exactly 30. Actually, he's actually like 37 and 7 on like crazy percentages. Yeah. It's like unreal. Like, every time this guy like gets her or is out for an extended period of time, people are like, is he gonna be the same thing? Is it gonna be the same thing? He is. He's Kevin Durant. He's the MVP this year if he doesn't go down for like a month and a half. Like, there's no doubt in my mind. Like, people are arguing right now between Embiid, Jokic. Some people are saying John Morant, DeMar DeRozan. Like, those guys, I'm sorry, they're all having great years. But if Kevin Durant plays like 65 plus games, even 60 plus, he's getting the MVP.
Yeah,
like, there's no doubt.
And we ran through Curry. So KD, along with the 38 points, he also had 6 boards and 6 assists. Run through real quick. Jeez. Dragic had 9 points and 10 assists, and Drummond had 17 points and 9 boards.
Dragic's playmaking has been insane.
It really has. And it's like, when you have, if Ben Simmons comes back and you have Dragic and Ben handling the ball and just distributing throughout this offense with all these weapons we have, it's scary. And one other thing I wanted to bring up, Cam Thomas played 14 minutes last night, and we had talked about how he hadn't really been looking the same and didn't look aggressive ever since he had that little injury in the minutes he would play. There were, like, the last two games, he played like a total of like 15 minutes and attempted one shot before yesterday. He put up 8 shots yesterday in 14 minutes. He had 11 points on 5 for 8. And he looked good while doing it. He looked like he was back to his normal self. He looked great. And it was awesome to see, because we need his presence there. When he comes into the game, your purpose is to just go get a bucket. Go get your
ball. Army knife on the bench. Like, you may not play every game, but when you're like desperate for some offense or some guys are out, like, you can call Cam Thomas and he can give you like an easy 10 points off the bench.
Yeah, for sure. That's what his role needs to be. And I think a couple more years down the line, he's going to be playing on this championship caliber team for years, unless we trade him, which I can't see happening. All the guys love him. But Cam Thomas is going to emerge into a star one day just because of his scoring prowess. And there will be a day where Kevin Durant is 38 years old and he will not be the same Kevin Durant as he is now. He will still be good because you don't lose shooting. But Cam Thomas is one day going to be the leading scorer on this Nets team, I think.
I'd love to see like a transitioning of the power. Like, it was supposed to be like what happened with the Spurs, the Kawhi from like the first big three with Duncan. Didn't really work out for other reasons, but like, you'd love to see a passing of a torch. I think of like Brett Favre to like Aaron Rodgers, like a football comparison.
Yeah. Like, exactly. You know, Eli Manning to Daniel Jones, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. How can I forget that? Or Sam Darnold to Zach Wilson.
Just thoughts. All right, well, that is basically all we have, I believe. Nets come back from down 18 against the Blazers. How we got down 18 in the first place, I have no idea. Yeah. But now time to predict what we think is going to happen Monday, Anthony. We got the Jazz at home.
That's a tough one. No Kyrie Irving. No Kyrie.
Utah Jazz.
No LaMarcus, probably. And then I'm going to be optimistic and say a win, but it's going to be a tough one.
I mean, yeah, you probably need it to take a to maybe get back on Cody, but I think I'm going to go with a loss on this.
Damn. Yeah. So yeah. Well, did Cody pick his though or no?
No, but he'll tell us off pod and we'll talk about it on Monday. I'm sure he'll pick a win just to spite you and me because I'm ahead. But
yeah, that's why it's a fight for second place between me and Cody.
Current standings.
The Nets trying to get into the stab of the play-in.
Yeah. I have 29, Cody has 24, and Anthony has 23. Anything else you want to say, Anthony, before we wrap this one up?
Let's keep the good juju going. If we don't lose in a Spencer Dinwiddie game winning three at the buzzer, we win six in a row and looking at this a little differently. But I'll take 5 out of 6, considering the circumstances and how poorly we played like the month half before. Like the staggering splits of this team with and without Kevin Durant's the same this year. Like I think it's like 30 and 14 around with KD and then like very, very below 500 without him.
Yeah. So,
like, you have Kevin Durant in the lineup, you tend to win some ball games. So let's keep doing that. Let's keep Kevin Durant in the lineup. I know we had a scare the other night. I don't know if you guys talked about it during that match.
Yeah, we did. I said,
I was streaming it because I'm down in New Orleans and I was streaming that game. And I saw that happen and like my stream's a little behind. So all I see is a bunch of tweets saying like, oh no, oh no. And I was like, oh, don't tell me something happened. I'll turn this game off and I'll stop watching the rest of the year. That'll be like my final straw. But yeah, I saw that. And I heart
stopped. Would have been my 13th reason.
Yeah, that was literally a bit. But yeah, let's keep it going. Like, let's keep everybody healthy. Let's get some guys back. Hopefully, Eric Adams changes. I do have optimism with that the Yankees and Mets are also fighting the same battle.
Yeah.
I would hope. I think rest of regular season, like, I think it's like a 5-day difference. We have like two games left after baseball starts. I think it's like April 7th, baseball starts. And like, the Nets, like, have two games left. I know the game we're going to and like one other.
Yeah. So maybe the rest of the there's one last. There's one last game. We're going to the second last game of the year.
So playoffs is basically like what you'd want for Kyrie to play at this point. Same for Ben Simmons. I think we're lucky to see Ben Simmons play 2 or 3 games.
They said they're targeting the last two games of the season for Ben. So let's hope he stays on track. He did get an epidural when we were in Orlando to help with his back recovery. So hopefully that helps in the process and he can start ramping up this week. I expect maybe some news coming out Monday, see if he did anything in practice before the game. Maybe hopefully he started then, but we'll see.
Yeah. It's probably not gonna be a lot of news today at all. And maybe not on a Sunday. I probably just get an injury report, but yeah,
every time we say that some shit happens. So
yeah, probably.
Oh, by the way, we got to mention KD did get fined because a fan yelled, KD, you got to take this game over. And KD turned around and says, you got to shut the fuck up and sit down.
Yeah, that was hilarious. Like, he saw the video too.
Of course, this kind of stuff happens all the time, but he's only fined because it's caught on video and you know how it goes. But KD posted on Twitter a picture of a guy with a stack of money handing it to someone and he said, fine, here you go. so
KD got to find 25K and to them it's like pocket change over someone like us.
That's like us spending $40. Like
yeah.
All right. Well, I think that's gonna wrap it up for this episode. Make sure to leave us a 5-star review, follow us on Twitter, DM us questions. You know the drill. Thank you for listening. We will see you guys again on Tuesday.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.